Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to How to Survive, the show that teaches you how to survive the stuff that can kill you.
Like colliding planes, or being trapped in your truck, or whirlpools.
And the stuff that just makes you wish you were dead.
Like crying during Jeopardy, or 1990s movies, or crappy neighbors.
Ugh.
The worst.
Man, that can really ruin a day.
Yeah, you know what brings up your day?
Tell me.
Our theme song.
Ground is shaking under our feet, mountains on fire, flooding in the street. Can't breathe the air, can't fight the feeling, gobbling down Xanax.
Chris.
Hi there.
Hi. I don't know if it's because the kids are out of school and it's, you know, the holidays. It just feels like it's been longer than a week since we've been here. Does it feel like that to you?
Yeah, it does.
It's weird. Everything's upside down and discombobulated.
Time is slow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's stretched out.
Did you have a good New Year's?
No.
No? Was it sucky?
Yeah.
Why? Did the kids get burnt in the fondue pot?
They're both in the ER right now.
She told me they were doing fondue for
We didn't. Eve. We did. Here we go.
It looks like hibachi or something.
It's called raclette. We did raclette.
Okay. And what? I think you've mentioned that, but what is it again?
It is, I thought it was German. It's actually Swiss.
Okay.
I looked it up. It is somewhat similar to fondue, but it's kind of a grill type thing.
Yeah.
For inside use. In which you melt, on one rack, you melt cheeses.
Okay.
All kinds of cheeses.
On a rack?
These little pans.
Like, oh, okay,
these
yes.
Little pans.
Okay.
You can melt all different kinds of cheeses. There's usually a Swiss type of cheese.
Uh-huh.
And another kind of cheese that's another, like, mild cheese.
Edam?
Perhaps.
I don't know what that is. It's just an every crossword puzzle.
And then maybe a cheddar.
Okay.
And on the top, you can do some veggies.
Uh-huh.
And, like, you know, you'll do some zucchini, some uh-huh. asparagus.
That you're grilling.
Yeah.
Okay.
And some meats, perhaps. Uh-huh. Like some filet.
Okay.
Like cut filets.
Uh-huh.
And then all over the table, you'll have, like, some pickled stuff. Some cooked potatoes.
This sounds so fancy and fun.
It is fun. And then you cook your food separately. Everybody's uh-huh. cooking what they like. And then you can put your cheese over whatever you want to put your cheese over,
okay.
like your potatoes. And then there's like sour cream and chives. There's some dipping sauces. And you just cook together. And that's what you do.
Okay. So that wasn't the bad part.
No. It wasn't that anything was bad. It was just that it felt like the kids weren't really getting along. They mm-hmm. hadn't been getting along for a couple of days.
Well, maybe it's just too much time at home together.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Because they don't have soccer or their other stuff right now.
So Benji does have soccer.
Oh, he does? Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, right. But not enough, even though it's like twice a week for 2 hours. Everybody was just a little kind of on each other's nerves, yeah. I would say.
It's weird being home, everyone together, for that long. It just feels like we were watching on New Year's Eve, we were watching Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy looked over at me. He's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I'm just sad." And Jimmy and Oliver were like, "What's the matter? What's the matter?" I'm like, "I don't know. I just don't like New Year's. Like, I just got really emotional. Aww. I just don't like it. I don't know. It's just...
I don't like a day that forces you to be like, look at your life."
That's what it is. That's what it is. It's like, you just... It's just depressing.
Take stock.
Yeah.
No, thanks. Maybe I don't... I'd like to just keep moving.
Also, maybe I take stock a lot all the time.
Yes.
And so it's not like the most fun thing to do. But we did stay up till midnight.
We did too. It was really hard.
It was hard.
The kids made us. And I was like, by 10:30, I was just digging into my book because I could not watch any more TV. But you know what? I also cried.
Did you?
Like, not on you? But it was, I think it was the day before because we were playing a board game and the kids kept like being mean to each other mm-hmm. during the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could feel it coming.
Oh,
you know when you can feel it coming? And yes. I was like, maybe I can stop it. But then it just sort of came and the tears were coming. Uh-huh. And Alice was like, "Mom, are you okay?" And then I was just like, "We can't get along. It's my fault. Like, I'm a bad mom." And then it was like, it just tumbled into this like, "I'm a bad mom. I'm a career failure. I'm like not good at being a wife. The house is always a mess and it's my fault." Like, it was like I went.
Did you say all this out loud?
Yes, of course.
And the kids like, "Oh shit, maybe we should."
Benji was out of the room. I think he had gone to like build a Lego or something. And then so Sven and Alex were just kind of hugging me while I went through the catalog of all the things I was bad at. Like, literally, it was every single thing. It was like, I'm a failure. I'm a burden. I'm not good. I'm in debt. I'm not good at my career.
Right.
I'm a wait. Like, it was like literally my internal dialogue just spilled out for everyone to hear.
Yeah. Wow. I think we have a very similar week. Garen, did you have a fun time?
I didn't, I guess, but I'm better than you two, it sounds like.
Which
might be shocking to some people.
Oh, did you guys hear about the guy trapped in his car?
No.
His truck?
No.
For 6 days?
What?
I know. I was going to try to make it the story, you know, but then I was like, well, we've done too many things in cars. Yeah. I can't do anything in a car. So he slid off the road in his pickup truck. This was in Indiana, maybe? Like ice. His truck flipped off of the bridge like multiple times and then went under the bridge and he was trapped inside it.
He was trapped inside the car because the car landed upside down?
Yes. Couldn't reach his phone because he's pinned for 6 days. He lived because he could put his like shirt outside. There was like a pipe leaking water from the bridge.
No.
So he put the water, he funneled it through his shirt to try to clean it. Yeah, like his shirt and drank that, like squeezed it and drank it.
Genius.
And stayed warm because his airbags deployed and he used the deployed airbag to stay warm so he didn't freeze to death. And I guess the temperatures were a little milder than they normally are this time of year. And then these two guys were walking looking for fishing spots.
Uh-huh.
They came upon the truck. They thought he was dead because he was so still. And he like poked the guy and woke him up.
And, unbelievable.
And he was like, "Oh God, I'm so happy to see you."
Oh.
And I guess the first thing he asked for, Big Mac.
Yep. Oh, obviously he was starving.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Wait, so were they able to get him out or did they
have
to get...
They called the 911 and they said you should bring the jaws of life because he's really like in this crushed truck.
Right.
And it's going to be hard to get him out. And the guy, I don't know, he said, you know, "I can't feel my legs." So he had some pretty extensive injuries and they said, you know, he was in really, what is it when you're in the worst, like serious, you know, condition?
Critical.
Like it's critical, but then the next day he was in serious.
Okay.
So it seems like he's going to be okay. But like they said, it's a miracle he's alive.
Because I'm sure his family or whoever was like, you know, he's gone. That's it.
Yeah, why?
I mean, 6 days.
Yeah, you'd think there would have been a lot of... Maybe he's just like a single guy living alone, yeah, and his family lived far away, so they didn't think.
Was that it like much. An industrial truck or just a regular
pickup truck?
Okay. Wow.
I couldn't believe that.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Look at this. Christmas miracles.
Christmas is a miracle.
And then we're just crying because we know
my job.
I'm a bad mom. I'm a failure.
My kids hate me.
I mean, so
big deal.
You can take them for another walk up the hill and whisper seething things to them.
Yeah, I'm going to take them out and yell at them a little. Maybe I'll take them back to France and make them do a 5-day hike.
Oh, yeah.
The punishing
good idea.
Forest of the Alps.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Show them what's what.
So last we were here, you asked us to watch May December, which I did.
Yes. Good.
And I am also confused. Did you watch it?
I have not watched it.
Oh, Gary, you failed the assignment.
But I did watch Blue Steel, the 1990 Jamie Lee Curtis movie.
Why?
Garen,
what are you doing?
Who else is in that?
Ron Silver.
Ron Silver was a regular on Rhoda.
Guys, we've survived a lot over the holidays.
Yes.
But I bet you didn't have to survive being sucked into a whirlpool.
What? Just of my own emotions.
Yeah. Well, this may be slightly worse.
Okay.
All right. What is a whirlpool?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's an eddy.
Oh, you got a word right.
Yeah.
You know the one in your bathtub, right?
Sure.
It's like that.
But bigger.
Way bigger. I'm going to tell you kind of a little bit about whirlpools, and I'm going to tell you about some whirlpools, mm-hmm, some famous ones, and then I'm going to tell you how to survive one.
Okay.
All right. So according to yourweather.co.uk,
okay,
a whirlpool can occur when fast-flowing currents in the ocean circulating in different directions crash into each other, and then they begin to revolve around each other.
Okay.
So they're like doing this. See what my fingers are doing?
Yeah.
It's like...
Spinning plates.
It's like Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey. You know how they do that thing in Dirty Dancing where they're sexy dancing?
You mean the movie?
I mean the movie.
Okay.
All right. So depending on how much water there is and the force at which these water currents collide, eddies, like you said, of different sizes appear. The largest ones are called whirlpools or maelstroms.
Ooh. This is in the ocean, not above the ocean. This is in the water.
This is in lots of places.
Okay.
The ocean is one. Right. Maelstrom is a Norwegian word that comes from maelen, to crush, and strom, current, that is crushing current.
Okay.
So
it's also the thing you melt cheese on.
It's what we did on New Year's Eve.
Right, okay.
Maelstrom. Okay. Or like, I don't know, that to me, doesn't that sound like somebody's name? Oh, meet my friend, Maelstrom.
Sure.
I don't know.
Did you not know the word maelstrom before this?
I didn't. I don't think I'd heard about it a lot. Okay. Right. Maybe so. It sounds like a metal band or.
Yes.
Right?
I can see some umlauts over that O.
Coming up next, Maelstrom.
Yeah.
We'll rock you. Whirlpools in the ocean are more common than you, Garen, can imagine. And they occur temporarily.
Okay.
So it makes it difficult to track and record them. So when cold, heavier water slides under warmer, lighter water, that's when the rapid ocean currents are formed. And the intensity can depend on multiple factors, which I'm not going to tell you because they didn't tell me. Okay. So... as you might imagine, they can form... No, I'm going to say that again.
Okay.
As you might imagine, whirlpools pose the threat of drowning.
Yes, if you're caught in it.
Exactly. And they don't only form in the ocean. They can form wherever water is flowing. Creeks.
Oh.
Streams. Rivers. Seas, which is, I think, another
seas,
word for
oceans. Ocean, yeah.
All right. Any whirlpool that contains a downdraft, one capable of sucking objects beneath the water's surface, is called a vortex.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
I think that was also a ride at the carnival when I was a kid.
Probably.
The one, you know, where you go up against the wall and it spins and the floor drops out.
The worst.
I hated that because I always felt like I was slipping, but everybody else was okay. But I kept sliding. Like, I was like, why am I going down towards the bottom and everybody else is okay?
Were you slipping?
I think so.
Seriously?
I felt like it.
Oh, okay. That's not good.
No.
I just want to clarify. I've heard the word maelstrom. I'm in my head over here.
Yeah.
But not in a meteorological sense.
Okay.
I've only heard it as what I guess is the metaphorical maelstrom.
Okay.
Which is like a, you know, a mess, a big.
Oh, interesting. Big. I don't know how or when I've heard it. I'm going to just put that out there.
Sure.
Whirlpools also form at the base of waterfalls.
Oh.
So like down in Niagara. Have you been to Niagara Falls?
No.
You know what? Skip it.
Really?
I feel like it's like the Grand Canyon where you're like, all right, I saw it. Let's go.
Yeah. We were supposed to go to a waterfall, the one that you go to in, is it Pasadena?
Oh, hold on. Altadena?
Is it okay?
The hike?
Yeah. Isn't there a waterfall at the
Eaton
end?
Canyon.
Yeah.
It's a great hike.
We were supposed to do that like over the summer. And then everyone but me kept pushing it off. And then they were like, let's do it New Year's Day. Well, of course,
crying.
Jimmy is sick.
Yes.
No, but he's sick. So, yes. Of course, it didn't happen again. So it's just this sad thing of like, when will mom get her hike in the, you know?
I will hike with you to Eaton Canyon if you want. Or I can do Switzer Falls with you also. That's another wonderful hike.
Okay.
Thanks. I love to hike, and I will hike with you either place.
Didn't you say there was delicious ice cream at the end of Eaton?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to go over to a little drive, but it's just a couple minutes away. Okay. Carmella's. Everybody go to Carmella's.
Okay.
They have the best ice cream.
All right.
Not a sponsor, but if they want to send us some ice cream, I'm not going to say no. All right. So whirlpools also form, I said that, the waterfalls and man-made structures such as dams.
Huh.
You know?
Wow.
Can you believe that?
No, I can't.
Well, it's true.
Okay.
I'm telling you here, it's never been said before. I'm saying it first.
I love it.
Whirlpools are not, in fact, bottomless pits.
Uh-huh.
They often pull objects to the bottom of the seabed, and the currents can then move the objects far along the sea floor. If the object is something that can float, it may reappear way far away from where it was sucked into the whirlpool. So good luck finding that engagement ring.
Oh, dang.
Right?
Yeah.
Unless it floats. And then still you probably won't find it. You know what this reminds me of? That really good show that Sven and I watched that was in Swedish about the Kim Wall disappearance. You know, the woman that was killed on the submarine.
You told me about this.
God,
yeah.
God, it's so good.
I haven't watched it yet.
It's really good, but also, you know, it's about Kim Wall, so it's sad because she was murdered on a submarine. But then the way they have to go find her in the ocean is so cool. It's so cool to watch these scientists try to figure out the way the ocean currents move to find her in the ocean. Huh. It's really interesting.
Yeah. What did you say it was called again? I know you recommended it before.
Oh, it might be called The Investigation.
Oh, yeah. I think that's what you said it was called.
It's so good. It's probably one of my favorite shows from this last year. But again, it's sad and it's...
Have you seen Blue Steel? I mean, not a show and not from this year, but
no,
still.
No, I haven't. You know what?
It's on my Vudu. You're more than welcome
to watch it.
Isn't that the Zoolander thing? Isn't it called Blue Steel?
His look is called Blue Steel.
I wonder if it was sort of
making fun of that movie.
It might have been.
That's really funny. Have you guys heard of the Coriolis effect?
Maybe. Kind of. Sounds familiar.
Well, let me tell you. It's the force of the Earth's rotation. It means that large whirlpools in the northern hemisphere tend to spin counterclockwise, while whirlpools in the southern hemisphere tend to spin clockwise.
Okay.
Remember, this is when I got confused about the dogs. Remember that time where I was like, dogs go one way,
right,
and then the other side, they go the
and
other way.
And we were
way.
Like, no, that's bathtubs and toilets.
And you guys were like, you're so wrong. But I really like that idea.
I do, too.
Let's still stick to it. All right. I'm going to tell you just a tad about some famous whirlpools around the world. You've probably seen their TikToks. All right. First, in the Norwegian Sea, we've got the Moskstraumen, which forms between the islands Mosken and Moskensøya. This is the second strongest whirlpool in the world, okay?
Okay.
So this was the inspiration for Poe's short story, Edgar Allan Poe, that is.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get confused with another Poe,
mm-hmm.
A Descent into the Maelstrom.
You didn't mean one of the, why can't I ever just goddamn think of anything when I want to? Tiddlywinks and Poe and the sun in the sky. The preschool characters. The British preschool characters.
This might be a reference only you know.
No, everyone knows this. The fucking...
The cow jumped over the moon?
No, the preschool characters with the...
Wiggles?
No, the red guy. Oh, and the
Teletubbies.
Teletubbies.
Oh, is there one in Poe?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. I didn't
really watch Teletubbies.
I'm not upset at you. I'm upset at my brain.
Oh, all right, let's take it over. Let's take it again.
Let's just start the episode from the beginning.
Fucking Teletubbies. All right.
All right. The The Mastrauman also features in the climax of Jules Verne's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Oh, okay.
And is mentioned by Captain Ahab in Herman Melville's Moby Dick.
All right.
Okay. There you go. All right. Next up, we've got Old Sal.
Wait, no. Does this mean that these reoccur? Like,
they're just
there. Or just
there.
Happen once?
No.
They're just always?
Always there.
They're always spinning?
Always spinning.
What?
Yes.
How is that possible?
It's just how it is. They're permanent.
What?
They're permanent fixtures.
In the ocean.
In the ocean. I'm going to give you information on how you can watch one of them whenever
this is
you
fascinating.
Want. Whenever you want.
Okay.
Probably any of these you can go look at online, of course. But this, the one I'm going to tell you about is going to be fun. All right. This next one is Old Sal. This is the largest whirlpool in the Western Hemisphere. That's
okay.
Us. Reaching a diameter of 76 meters. This forms in the waters between Deer Island and Moose Island in Canada. Old Sal gets its name not from the sound that it makes, most likely from the word sow, S-O-U-G-H, okay? Pronounced suff.
Uh-huh.
But people got it wrong, right? They'd see the word and they'd say sow. The meaning of sow is a type, which is actually suff, is a type of drain or sucking sound. It is plausible that long ago people referred in writing to the whirlpool as sow, and those not familiar with the word but familiar with plow mispronounced it as sow rather than suff, and the name stuck.
Okay.
Okay. So that's Old Sow. There's actually an Old Sow Survivors Club.
Whoa.
People who've survived going into that.
Do you think they go on purpose because they know it's there? And
some people do go into these on purpose for thrill rides.
Storm chasers.
Because if you have a... It's safer now to go into these whirlpools because of motorized boats, because motorized boats are stronger and can go through them. But sometimes people go in them in their motorized boats, and guess what happens? Their engine dies. Oh, and then there's a story about one family going in and getting spun around 100 times.
I mean, they're asking for it,
fucking,
right? It's so
don't
stupid.
Do that, you
I
idiot.
Thought you meant they went in just their bodies. I guess.
Oh, that happens too.
Oh, it does. Okay.
Yeah. So on the coast of Japan, between Tokushima and Hyogo, the Naruto tidal whirlpool can reach 20 meters in diameter and travel up to 12 kilometers per hour, which is fast.
Jesus. Okay.
The whirlpools inspired the name for Narutomaki Surimi, which in turn inspired the name Naruto Uzumaki for the manga and anime Naruto.
Wow.
Oh, I never knew that. That's cool.
So that was something I thought was interesting. And that's all I'm going to tell you about that one.
Okay.
So if you want to know more, you know how to Google. All right.
I can't believe they're permanent. I'm so confused.
It's pretty wild.
Okay.
All right. This one, Corey Vrekin, considered the third strongest in the world ranking.
Uh-huh.
It's located west coast of Scotland.
All right.
All right. It's generated by the irregularity of the seabed, which is full of depressions.
It's dark over there.
We can relate.
Yeah, it's like, and there's never sunshine.
And pinnacles that cause the water that circulates between them to increase its speed. The depressions and pinnacles, I think the pinnacles are raises.
Okay.
So depressions and raised.
Makes sense.
I don't really know what pinnacles are. I'm just bullshitting you. A legend surrounds Norse King Brekin in... I might be mispronouncing Brekin. In various stories, Brekin moored his boat near the whirlpool to impress a local princess, or alternatively, to flee from his father across the Gulf. In both stories, Brekin was swept into the whirlpool and his body dragged ashore later by his dog. Brekin may be named after the whirlpool, or its current name may be a Gaelic pun on his name.
Oh, okay. Oh, those Gaelic puns.
Oh my God, I can't get enough Gaelic puns. All right, here's a fun little aside about Corey Vrekin. In mid-August 1947, the author George Orwell nearly drowned in the Corey Vrekin whirlpool, seeking to focus his main energies on completing a novel destined to become the dystopian classic 1984. Orwell had fled the distractions of London in April 1947 and taken up temporary residence on the isolated island of Jura. On the return leg of an August boating day trip to nearby Glen Garrisdale. Orwell seems to have misread the local tide tables and steered into rough seas drove his boat near to the whirlpool. When the boat's small engine suddenly sheared off from its mounts and dropped into the sea, Orwell's party resorted to oars and was saved from drowning only when the whirlpool began to recede and the group managed to paddle the distressed craft to a rocky outcrop about a mile distant from the Jura coastline. The boat capsized as the group tried to disembark, leaving Orwell, his two companions, and his three-year-old son stranded on the uninhabited outcrop with no supplies or means of escape. They were rescued only when passing lobstermen noticed a fire the party had lit in an effort to keep warm. Orwell completed a first draft of 1984, about 3 months after the Corrie Vreckan incident, with the final manuscript not finished until late 1948.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that crazy?
That seems like it would be a good movie.
I agree.
Or part of a movie.
I'd watch that movie.
Yeah.
Feel like less conflicted about it than May, December. I mean, I'd have to see the movie first. Yeah. And who's going to be George Orwell, do you think?
I don't know what he looked like.
I don't either. But you know what I think would be maybe that guy, Michael, I don't know.
McDonald?
Shannon? No, neither of those. I can't think of the actor's name.
B. Jordan.
Yeah, Michael B. Jordan.
As George Orwell?
Yeah, why not?
Why not? Who's to say he wasn't black and hot?
Who's to say?
I mean, photographic evidence?
Maybe.
Who cares?
1947, I think they had cameras.
That's what I'm saying. But who's to say?
Who's to say?
Unfortunately, we no longer have Vincent Price with us.
Oh, yeah, he's sort of an odd-looking dude.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
Who's Lynchy,
Sean Penn?
He does look like David Lynch. Sean Penn, yeah.
Could play him,
yeah.
All right, Salt Straumen.
Yeah.
Right outside of Bode, Norway, just north of the Arctic Circle, you can experience Salt Straumen. This is from their tourism page. A unique and amazing natural attraction. Salt Straumen is the world's strongest maelstrom and is a spectacular and somewhat intimidating phenomenon to behold. 1.9 miles long, 480 feet wide.
What?
Every 6 hours, almost 400 million cubic meters of water have to pass through a 3 kilometers long, I already told you how big it was, between Saltfjorden and, I'm going to say, Skjerdstadfjord. That is not anywhere near how you pronounce that word, by the way. The water can move at speeds of up to 20 knots or about 10 meters per second. Okay. Like all tidal currents, Salt Straumen is strongest just after the new and full moon.
Oh, okay.
I forgot about how the moon controlled tides.
Yeah.
All right. So you can experience Salt Straumen either from land, from the bridge, Salt Straumbrua, or the most intense way, from a rib boat on the water. This is a rigid inflatable boat. I had to look that up.
Okay.
Okay. So guess what? People fish there and hang out there.
All right.
And it's like a place people like to go. And you know how I found out? So Norway really loves to do slow TV. Have you guys heard of slow TV?
Yeah.
You can go online and you can watch Salt Straumen for 12 hours.
Oh, okay.
I didn't watch for 12, but I will put the link, or whichever one of us is doing the newsletter that week, I will have the link available and you can just watch Salt Straumen.
Is it impressive or no?
It doesn't look as intense as you expect.
Okay.
It's like people... There's in the middle, you can see the swirly swirl.
Yeah.
It's like a big swirly swirl.
Uh-huh.
And then there's like fishermen out there fishing, but they're not going into that part.
Right.
And there's people on the side fishing and like hanging out, making fires on the little side of the water. Like it looks cold and sort of beautiful in a way that Norway is cold.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how I think if that were here, they just wouldn't let people in the water at all.
Yes, no.
But there, they're like, yeah, go in. I guess don't go in that part. If you do, you're stupid.
This might be a really dumb question, but is there any underwater footage of these things?
Not in this video.
Okay.
Like in this video, it is computer generated. It's like weird. They'll go underwater and then that part is like computer generated technology.
It's not real. Okay.
So there probably is, and it would be interesting to see it.
James Cameron probably has it.
He's got all the underwater stuff, that guy. Yeah. He's got it all. All right. Now, let's talk about how to survive it.
Okay.
That's important, right?
Yeah.
I mean, get to the fucking topic, Kimmel.
Right.
That's what we're all thinking. All right. So, obviously, if you're a beginning kayaker, whirlpools are a pain. if you're a like thrill seeker out there, you're going to be maybe kind of excited to come across a whirlpool, right?
Yeah.
So how to survive one? First, know the different types. Mm. Devise a strategy for each. Guess what a good piece of advice is from the experts?
What? Stay away.
Remain calm.
Oh.
But yes, the next thing they say, most effective strategy for surviving a whirlpool, not get caught in one in the first place.
Yeah, ding dong.
So yeah, Danielle, you were right. Here's what they say if you're river kayaking, because you will often come across these if you're river kayaking. First, one thing you can do is you pull your craft over to the side, walk downstream to spy out any standing whirlpools. So walk out, go look ahead.
Yeah.
If one forms unexpectedly, though, in front of you, you can actually use them to your advantage. If you use strong strokes to propel yourself to the side of the whirlpool that is heading downstream, you can actually use them to like...
As a ride.
Like, yeah, to jump ahead.
Okay.
You just don't want to go the wrong way in one.
Right.
Because then you can get stuck in it and it can take your front of your kayak and make you spin right down into it.
I'm picturing like one of those revolving doors in a hotel.
Yes. It like slingshots you. That's what they say. It slingshots you forward. You use your momentum and your additional paddle strokes. So if you get stuck in it, it says use your momentum and additional paddle strokes to break free of the whirlpool's grasp on the downstream side. Okay. But if you do get stuck in it, you kind of just have to ride it out. And like hopefully if you're kayaking, you know how to flip your kayak. You should have practiced that in like a class.
Okay.
I don't know how to flip a kayak, so I'm not going in any whirlpools. All right. Standing still. Standing whirlpools can be the easiest to avoid, but the trickiest to get out of. The largest standing whirlpool in the Western Hemisphere is Old Sow, as we talked about earlier. Old Sow's vortex is up to 250 feet in diameter, with roiling waters, holes, and troughs around its perimeter. Though the whirlpool has caused a long list of fatalities,
ooh,
your best bet of surviving Old Sow or other standing whirlpools is to keep your boat from swamping, which I think means
filling with water.
Flipping, yeah.
Okay.
Flipping and filling with water. And let the vortex spit you out.
Oh.
Work your way to the outside edge of the whirlpool.
Okay.
Moving in the direction of water flow. Once on the outer edge, you can thrust yourself into the flow of the water beyond its reach.
Wait, what? I see. Okay. But does it mean get out of your boat?
No.
Okay.
Do not leave your boat.
But thrust your... Okay, got it.
Yes. This is you're in a boat.
Okay.
Okay. Guess what? There are vertical whirlpools.
Okay.
These are also known as hydraulics. So they begin with waves that roll back over onto themselves.
Oh, my Lord.
I know. Come on. Like, don't we have enough to worry about
scary.
With whirlpools? So like other types of whirlpools, these can be standing or temporary occurrences. The water thunders back onto itself,
mm-hmm.
creating white water on the surface. Avoid getting caught in this vortex by ducking down beneath the foaming water churning in the backwash.
Okay.
I guess?
Yeah, like an undertow. Like,
yeah.
Just, right.
Force yourself down into the smooth water that dips beneath it and keep traveling downstream. So I think they're saying go under it,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
You may need to force yourself down with your arms if you're wearing a flotation device.
Oh, my God.
Don't take that flotation device off, though.
Don't. Okay.
Also, wear your flotation device. There was a whole story, which I'm not going to share the whole thing because it was too sad, about a big boat in India that got caught in a whirlpool where they were just all sitting on their life jackets. Because the guides told them not to worry about the life jackets. And they were like, oh, it's going to get a little, rocky.
What?
And they got sucked right into a whirlpool.
Well, why would you not put them on?
People just, we are obsessed with safety in this country fault maybe. But like in other places, it's really lax.
Okay.
Wear a life vest when boating or kayaking to help you increase your survival. To help you stay afloat. Should you become caught up in a whirlpool, don't ditch your craft. So your boat or your little raft or whatever you're on. Flotation will keep you from becoming pinned below the surface by the force of the water.
Okay.
Okay? Okay, Danielle?
Okay, okay.
Oh, my God. Are you getting this?
I am.
God, I'm getting upset that you're not going to listen.
No, I'm listening. I'm listening 100%.
Getting out of a whirlpool or other hydraulic is usually an exhausting experience, okay? You will appreciate the flotation. Once you're free of its grip.
Yeah.
Your PFD, which is personal flotation device, or kayak also makes it easier for rescuers to spot you and come to your aid.
Right.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Don't get caught in the first place. If you do, remain calm.
Okay.
Okay. Try to get to the edge of the whirlpool. Look for an escape route.
Okay.
Wear a life vest. during water sports. All right. So that's it.
Okay.
That's it. We're going to tell a story.
All right.
Who's ready for a story?
I am.
All right. I'm going to get to the story and hold on to your hats, guys, because things are about to get real. This September will mark the 10th anniversary of my trip to sail a raft down the Zambezi River. I was 45 and living with my young family in Devizes, Wiltshire. I'm probably saying that wrong. But I'd always wanted to visit Africa. Danielle, that's like you.
Yeah.
When I read about the 5-day whitewater tour, it seemed the perfect way to do it.
Mm.
I was struck by the heat and the aroma as I got off the plane in Zimbabwe before traveling across the border to Livingstone, Zambia, to meet the rest of the team. Each of the rafts carried 8 to 10 people, and we were split into two groups. Before starting our training, we had a riverboat ride and swam beneath Victoria Falls. I have wonderful memories of seeing elephants and hippos and camping beside the river each night under skies filled with stars. A decade before, I'd spent a couple of days rafting in New Zealand, but the Zambezi was on a different level. Rapids are graded on a scale of 1 to 6, and we encountered a number of 3s and 4s, names like Oblivion, the Washing Machine, and the Devil's Toilet Bowl.
Oh, no.
Oh, that doesn't sound like anything I want to go in. No. The Devil's Toilet Bowl? The guides looked after us brilliantly, though, and we pulled together as a team. So while the white water was thrilling, I never felt any real danger. Dun, dun, dun.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost Rider was the last rapid on the final day, a grade 5 with 3 enormous waves. I was at the front of our raft. We were all fired up, and I remember singing. The first waves gave us no trouble, but as we hit the second, the raft flipped, and suddenly I was beneath it, trapped underwater. We'd been told to swim away from the raft if it capsized, and that's what I did. As I was swept downstream, I clung to my paddle, confident it and my life jacket would help me stay afloat long enough to strike out towards the bank of the river. Instead, I was pulled under, and I could feel myself spinning.
Oh, my God.
When I realized I was trapped in a whirlpool, my first instinct was to try to swim out of it, but this proved hopeless. I knew trying to fight it would use up what little oxygen I had in my lungs, so I tried to push the tip of the paddle out of the water, hoping someone would see it.
Okay.
I kept spinning and held my breath, terrified I'd reach a point where my body would make me breathe automatically, filling my lungs with water. An unbearable, fiery pain bloomed in my chest, and I felt myself slipping into unconsciousness. I thought, this is it.
Oh, my God.
I pictured my kids and my wife, and I said, goodbye, world. These were my last thoughts until I heard a man's voice repeatedly calling my name. At first, it sounded as if the voice was coming from far away, but it seemed louder each time. I was told to open my eyes, and that's when I realized I'd blacked out and was coming around on another raft. I remember gasping for breath, sitting up, and water flooding out of my nose. My sinuses had filled up. I was taken to the shore and led to a rock, where I sat down to recover. I've since reviewed footage filmed by the GoPro camera attached to my helmet.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. The video shows I was underwater for almost 3.5 minutes.
What?
I must have been dragged down almost to the riverbed, where the pool of the whirlpool lessened and released its hold. I was spotted face down in the water and picked up by one of the kayakers, a man called Lovemore, who I'm still in touch with. He transferred me to the raft. Despite passing out, I never let go of the paddle. There's a photograph of me clutching it while recovering on the rock. When the magnitude of what I'd been through dawned on me, I broke down and was comforted by other members of the crew. Still, other than feeling absolutely shattered, I seemed to have escaped unscathed. I didn't start to feel really unwell until I got back to the UK. My GP said it was necessary to prescribe antibiotics to prevent a nasty infection due to fecal matter in the river.
Mm.
Devil's toilet bowl.
Oh.
What happened was bad luck, but I am glad I trained for 6 months in a local gym before heading out. I suspect I wouldn't have survived so long underwater had my cardiovascular system been less strong. But when my son recently challenged me to sit on the bottom of a swimming pool for as long as I could, I caved in about 10 seconds. Holding my breath isn't something I'm going to do again for fun.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So I guess he was the only one who got swept into the whirlpool on that raft.
Yeah, his name's Stuart Foulstone.
That is
Stuart.
Stuart, that happened.
3.5 minutes? How do you not get brain damage?
I don't know.
That's unbelievable.
I don't know. Isn't that crazy?
That's completely crazy. Good for him.
Bananas.
Jesus.
So don't get sucked in a whirlpool.
No, I wouldn't.
I'm not going to do it.
No, I'd
what
rather.
What about you, Garen?
You think that guy sang that Willy Wonka song when he was going towards those rapids?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
What Willy Wonka song?
That where it gets really dark when
he's on the boat. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oliver used to make us skip that part.
I can see why.
Yeah, it's upsetting. Scary.
That I'm always fascinated by those things, but there's no way I would ever be like, let me get a little closer to it.
Yeah, I know. Let's just get closer. No. Let's get a closer look.
Jeez. That is so scary. Wow. Yeah. I can't believe he's okay. That's fantastic. But he said he wasn't feeling well when he got back. Oh, so he did have an infection.
Yeah, I think from all the water.
Okay, got it.
It's weird that he was aware of being in there, but then they found him face down, like...
Well, he said he blacked out, yeah.
But he didn't know he blacked out.
No.
Like, what...
He was maybe dead for a few minutes.
How do you... it's weird.
They must have done the compressions on his chest to get the water, like, and I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know. Because he thought he was dying, and then the next thing he knows, he's on a rock.
It's so weird.
Oh, my God. Just, horrifying.
Like, how long are you aware of what's happening when something is happening? It's very scary just to think about. Like, how do you know when you're...
How about his toddler trying to kill him in a pool?
I know. Hey, Dad, wouldn't this be fun?
Remember the most horrific thing that's ever happened to you?
Want to revisit your trauma?
Let's do it now.
Let's do this just for fun, though.
Let's just see who's better at it.
Did you guys see the video on the LA Times from the big crashing waves in Ventura?
No.
Where there's people just standing by the edge of the breakers, and then this huge wave comes and, like...
Oh, I think I did see that.
And the truck moves and crashes and all the people, and it was a bunch of people were injured.
Because they just want to get a better look.
But there were warnings.
Right. This is with every weather phenomenon, right? Yeah. People just are too curious.
They don't take it seriously enough.
No.
I'm always like the one where it's like, when by our house, there'll be like, say, fire evacuations, but they're not even at our house yet. I'm like, why don't we just go ahead and go?
Oh,
I take it very seriously to the extreme because I'm like, hey, they're not always right. It's close to our house. Yeah. How about we just go? We don't need to wait because they could be wrong and fire's unpredictable. Let's not be stupid. Let's be a little more paranoid.
Yeah.
Why not?
A little more paranoid in 2024.
Oh, I think that's a great resolution.
I think I'm going to resolve to be more paranoid.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
That's a great one. More fear in 2024.
Oh, sorry. I just cracked every bone in my back.
I wish I could do that. Not for you. For myself. Yeah. I mean, if you wanted me to, I would.
You probably could. You could just pick me up and...
It would all go...
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we should take a break.
Yeah. I'll crack your back.
All right.
We'll be right back.
Bye.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Christine, welcome back.
Welcome back to you.
How was your break?
Oh my God, I want French fries.
Yeah, we were talking about French fries and how apparently they use caramel coloring in the American McDonald's French fries to make them look like French fries, I guess.
All right. Emily is from the podcast The Residuals.
Mm-hmm.
Paranormal.
Yes.
Activity.
Yes.
Ghost stories.
All of the about ghost stories, unexplainable things, people having dreams. Sleep paralysis is a big one.
Ooh.
There's a phenomenon that's a worldwide phenomenon called the man in the hat, which is something that many people thought was just a symptom of their sleep paralysis. So it was just like a ghost in their house. And it's just a guy wearing a hat and a long trench coat, as you do, just hanging out in the room at the end of the bed. Someone started to do research on it and found that it's an international phenomenon. And so they
that did many it. People claim they see a man in a, did you say a top hat?
No, it, well, the hats
vary depending on what country
you are. Yeah.
Okay.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And a long trench coat at the end of your bed.
Or in your room, you just see them.
Okay.
And so at first they were like, well, it's sleep paralysis, or it's that whole, you know, that hysteria.
That spreads.
Yeah, the hysteria that spreads. Well, none of these people have anything in common, including many of them, a language. So
that's pretty wild.
Yeah. So we just talk about stuff like that. And
how fun.
Yeah, we love it.
I really love your Sleepy Hollow stuff. I've been listening to those.
Thank
I think
you.
There's
I appreciate
a couple.
It.
It's like a mini arc of episodes. It's more than one episode.
Well, what we like to do is we do a deep dive on. So Joy, my pod wife co-host, she has a scientific archaeological background, and so she looks into the more rational side of things, whereas I'm like, it's haunted.
Right.
No, it's a ghost.
Right.
I'm sorry. I kicked.
That's all right.
You're fine. So we'll do the history of somewhere, and then we'll come in and we'll do the haunting of somewhere, or we'll do a historical haunting of somewhere, because somewhere in there is an explanation or what the seed of what came out of it, of what caused the haunting or something like that. And so, yeah, but we have people come on. We have something that started magically happening called ghost therapy, which is where people will come on and they'll be really scared by something that happened to them. And through talking about it with them, we'll start to unravel it, unpack it. And it's like they walk away being like, you know, maybe that wasn't as scary.
Oh, okay. So it's like talking about your mother, but you're talking about your ghost.
Exactly.
Okay. Or maybe the ghost of your mother.
Exactly.
Okay. But it all goes back to the ghost of your mother.
Seriously.
It's all, everything could be.
It's always the mother.
Everything's your mom.
It's always the ghost mother.
But yeah.
And actually, you wanted to maybe ask our listeners.
Oh, my God.
For ghost stories. Is that right?
Tell us. So, because we are having you on our show.
Yes. Very exciting.
Whether you want to or not.
Absolutely.
No,
thrilled to.
And we do, we have an episode that we call Scare Mail. And for our Scare Mail, it is people, our listeners will write in and they'll email us their stories. And it can be any kind of like unexplainable, paranormal. Did you have an alien? Did you get abducted by, you know, what happened? Or a glitch. Like, God, we fucking love glitches.
It's a glitch. Glitches.
Well, it's like something, like, it's like you'll walk into somewhere and it's like very clearly a different era. It's a different decade. And people will like notice you and you'll be able to interact with them. And then,
like you're time traveling?
I guess, but it's, God, I sound absolutely bananas talking about this. It is, it's called a glitch. It's like just kind of where something happens.
Okay.
And it's like a mistake, and then you'll not be in it anymore.
I want to experience that.
Me too.
That sounds really interesting. I mean, especially if it was just for a short time.
Yeah.
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 Well, first I'd fuck some shit up. Pension, you know, a butterfly's wings off of
no.
It.
No,
yes.
I'm killing Hitler.
No,
but yeah. So we have people email us in, and then we read their emails. And now we've also got a hotline, so people can call us. And so you are both coming on for our Scare Mail episode.
Yay!
Oh, great! To read other people's stories
from our listeners.
Yes, and so our email address is. The Residuals Podcast, all one word, T-H-E.
Residuals.
I have to read it, yeah. the Residuals Podcast at gmail.com, or we have a hotline, which is 323-538-2666.
What?
That wasn't my idea. That
Shout
was Joy, because
devil.
Joy is savage. But yes, and if you find that you run out of time on the voicemail, don't worry about it. Just call back and
call
be like,
back.
This is part two.
All right. Well, we don't know when we're going to be on the show, so just do it ASAP.
And we're excited to have you on.
Thank you.
Well, we're excited to be on.
And we're excited to have you here today to talk about.
Yes. To tell us your survival story.
So when we were talking about this, it was like, first of all, it was very disconcerting to think, well, what trauma should I talk about? Which one?
How do you choose?
In my Dewey Decimal, shall I find? But this one, I think, So today I'm bringing you my pandemic Airbnb next door neighbor trauma.
Oh, this sounds good. Okay.
Okay. So obviously shit hit the fan, 2020. We'd moved to a neighborhood. We were living in Woodland Hills at the time. And we lived in, I guess they called flag lots, where there's a house in the front, not flag lots. What is it? It's basically there's a house on the street.
Okay.
And then there's a house kind of behind it. Separate property, separate, like.
Oh, okay. Line.
But the driveway is up, like, next to your house kind of
Got
deal.
It.
So they're tucked away. So our neighbor that we had right behind us, we had a fence between us. So there was no crossover. The one right behind the house next door to us, they weren't so lucky. They basically kind of shared a driveway, okay. but it went up against the side of our house and our backyard. So right before the pandemic happened, the people who lived there had sold the house. And we okay. were like, please let us get a family in there, because everyone around us was, all of our neighbors were boomers, all uh-huh. of them.
Okay.
Bless them. And so we just wanted someone that our kid could maybe play with,
or right.
that mm-hmm. we could be friends with. And so what happened was an older couple purchased it. They totally did a massive reno and managed to talk to them. And they were telling us that, well, they made the garage into a separate apartment for them because they were going to rent the main house out to somebody. And we were like, okay, long-term renters, maybe.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe they'll be young.
So then the lockdown started, and it was maybe a few weeks into the lockdown. Suddenly one day, and I was working from home, and I start hearing really loud engine revving things. And I realize that there is someone with loud trucks and cars in that driveway of that house, and they're working on the cars.
Okay.
And they're very loud about working on the cars.
Okay.
And I'm like, fuck, we got one of those neighbors now.
Okay.
This is great. This is going to be a shitty pandemic. But it only went on for a week. And mm-hmm. I was like, you know, I was thinking maybe like it was a friend of a friend's kids or something. And then we, middle of the day, our kids in the backyard, and we had a really tiny backyard. And it's like, we can't go to parks or anything. We're
right.
going to use our garden. But our back garden was like half in like their driveway a little bit. And so we start hearing really loud bass, really loud pump and bass in the middle of the day. And my husband is Canadian and he's non-confrontational. My sister and I are what I think some people would term, we're mouthy.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And so, you know, I just happened to be on the sidewalk out front checking my mail, mainly because I was like keeping an ear out for when someone was coming down the driveway. Mm-hmm. And then I'd just skip out front and be like, oh, Vince is seeing you here.
Right.
And so, you know.
So you
like,
had not met them?
No.
You'd met the older couple, but you'd
right.
not met the people they rented out to.
Right.
Okay.
So the people that they'd rented out to with the cars just left. After
oh.
like a week
oh,
or two
okay.
of being there, they
oh.
were gone. And so
oh,
then
okay.
we start hearing bass and we're like, well, who is this person?
Oh, I see.
Maybe
okay.
it's them. So they come out, totally different people. They're like, oh, yeah, we're shooting a music video here.
Oh, boy.
During the pandemic?
During the pandemic. And I was like, all right, then. Okay. I mean, it's going to suck, but it's maybe going to be for 1 or 2 days.
Right.
Fine. Well, you know, whatever. No. No, this started over a month of pandemic Airbnb parties. And we lived
what?
On, yeah, we lived in a little neighborhood off of a side street, and they would block the street with their cars parking. So it was, there was no way we could get out of our driveway, let alone a car actually coming down our street.
Wait, they parked the cars in the middle of the street?
Oh, yeah, they just parked wherever the fuck they wanted to.
Okay.
It was like the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, my God.
So
yeah.
Okay, so it's the pandemic. You're mm-hmm. supposed Everyone's supposed to be
and
staying away
like
from
it's
each other.
And it sounds like it's early in the pandemic.
It was like at this point, this was I think maybe June, April, June.
So were we already in lockdown?
Oh, yeah.
So the older couple is now Now it's just an Airbnb.
They never even moved in.
Right. Now it's just an Airbnb. They're not even like looking for long-term rentals.
No.
So these people decide to make a music video, but then the rest of the time it's just they're just having people over to catch COVID.
Yes.
And stay in the middle of the street.
Turned into a party house.
Okay.
And so this went on for a while.
Did you call the police and say like they're blocking the street?
They didn't give a shit. They weren't coming out. They didn't. Okay. No, they, by the time they did get there, because it was our boomer neighbor, Tony, who, bless him, Tony is like, I'm this big tough guy, but he's not. And so he called them a few times and he went outside. And when he did, like, we didn't call him because we knew that our neighbors would at this point.
Okay.
But they would show up maybe like an hour or two after people had started to clear out.
Oh, okay.
Our poor neighbors that shared the driveway with them, their bedroom window was right there on the driveway.
No.
So they numerous times would have people fucking in the bushes outside their bedroom window.
Oh, no.
We were finding nitrous canisters strewn all over the sidewalk in front of our house. Just hippie crack everywhere. So, lots of whippets. I was finding little baggies all over the front. Like, I had a good time in college, so I like to. I'm like, I know what this was, but it's like, not. Yeah.
Now you're out there with your toddler.
My kid was three at the time, and so we got a hold of the landlord and started calling him.
Right,
and he is one of those older gentlemen who doesn't listen to women.
Oh boy,
right.
And I maybe kind of cottoned onto this earlier when I met them first, because his wife just kind of stood in the background and didn't say anything, and he did all of the talking. But yeah, it became very apparent. I was the one that was calling him in the end, being like, you need to get it together. Yeah. This is happening. It's fine. It's not me. I'm doing it through this other company, blah, blah, blah. So then I find the house on Airbnb. I call the number. And it's this, like, they're dickheads. And she was like, can you describe the people who are having the party? I described all of the people that were there during the day. And it's a varied group of people, different ethnicities, different whatever, tattoos. Yeah. I don't give a shit. I don't want them there. And this woman cottons onto, well, it sounds like you're saying that one of them is a different color, and so you're a racist. You just want
to. Are you kidding me?
And I was like, oh my God. So I.
Did you say they're having sex and doing drugs in front of my toddler?
Yeah, they're fucking in my neighbor's garden. They're doing drugs at the bottom of our driveway. And I was like, don't you fucking. So I screamed at her until she hung the phone up on me. And then I called back and screamed some more. So we ended up, I found out about something called an SLO, which is basically our neighborhood liaison officer. So I reached out to them. The other neighbors at this point were coming together, including the neighbors on the street behind us, because it's impacting them.
Mm. Yeah.
And so we get together with him. He calls owner dude immediately. This shit shuts down with the parties. Because
he's a man.
Yeah,
a man called.
He's a man. So we think that's the end of it, and that is what the worst of it will be. And we are very wrong. So one day we hear this really loud engine of a car, like an old van, kind of like, you know, the rumble. And me being me, I peek over the hedge, but God, I turned into such a nosy Karen of a neighbor during this time. Because, I mean, first of all, I had nothing else to do.
I was going
to
say, it's entertaining.
I had nothing else to fucking do,
right.
If I'm going to be perfectly honest. Right.
You should be thanking them
for
giving you something to focus on.
Thank you. I'd maybe watched way too much Veronica Mars at this point on repeat that I'm like,
I don't have some stuff.
I don't have a pit bull, but I have two batshit crazy terriers who will bark at you. So back off. So I'm peeking over the hedge and I'm seeing like, younger people, but they're moving in and they're bringing all this stuff in. And I'm like, well, it looks like stuff for maybe living there.
Okay.
So maybe we'll be okay. And yeah, they're kind of quiet. But then we start to notice a very strange smell outside at the back of our house. And we start to notice a lot of traffic on our street.
Oh, my God.
And it's a quiet street. And then at nighttime, I'm hearing whistling. And it's like the same thing, but like it's like a call and response. Uh-huh. And I'm like, the fuck is going on? And then one day, it's middle of the day, I'd taken my kid and the dogs for a walk just to get outside. And we turn the corner and there are two cars in this driveway, plain view. And someone's coming out and they've got giant see-through Rubbermaid containers full of weed. And we realize we have an illegal grow operation happening behind us.
They couldn't have used colored bins that maybe you couldn't see.
Why would you do that?
Why?
In the middle of the day. The thing is because it's legal in California, as it should be, well, like legal, it's a misdemeanor to sell.
Okay.
So, I mean, okay, cool. That's fine. But when you've got a giant fucking grow operation happening that we've now realized this call and response whistles, it's apparently a gang that's operating it, that we realized this because we saw a bunch of out-of-state plates the weekend before it come there, and it was kind of quiet, and so it turns out that's what happens. You will have someone with out-of-state plates come. Mm-hmm. They will scout the property, and this property was tucked away from the road. You couldn't see it.
Right.
It had a gate that closed. It was totally private, and it's in a residential neighborhood, so that's where illegal grow operations normally are. They're in the quiet areas, residential.
Oh, okay.
And
it's
so
safer for them.
It's so much safer for them. And so the whistling we were hearing were the lookouts letting them know if they saw a patrol car coming or if a neighbor was out. And I mean, it didn't fucking matter, obviously, because in the middle of the day, they're doing these broad daylight, massive deals.
Right.
Of stuff.
Yeah, they're not selling a joint. They're selling like massive amounts of product.
Mass quantities. Okay. And respect to them, they made it very convenient. They were doing curbside service to people.
Well, that is convenient.
That's COVID protocol.
Really kind of
COVID
them.
Protocol.
Exactly.
They're following the protocol.
Exactly.
I'm sure they were wearing masks.
Probably not quite as disruptive as the late night parties.
Again, reached out to the SLO because the smell became so overwhelming. And the smell...
Danielle, you would hate that.
I would hate it.
It's not the smell of... It wasn't the smell of weed. It was... There's a smell that accompanies a grow operation that is horrific. It's disgusting.
Huh.
Is it the plant in its pure form that smells really bad at that level? Or what is it?
It's probably like fertilizer.
It's, it's like everything mixed together that makes this delicious, moist environment. I hate that word. I'm sorry I said it.
It's a bad word.
Humid. Humid, wet, damp environment for them to live in. So it was just this horrific smell. And this went on for a while, a really long time. And so finally we got, again, the SLO involved, and it was with the neighbors again. And it really reached a scary point for us when I was in the driveway playing with our daughter, and one of the guys from the house came out and started taking pictures of the front of our house. And we're outside with my daughter. And I'm like, the fuck is happening? And because I can't keep my mouth shut, I was like, can I help you? Are you lost?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he was like, oh, no, like I'm meeting my friend here and he can't find the. So I'm just here. So it helps him. It's because the house is so fucking hidden and tucked back. They're taking pictures of our side of the street with our houses. So they know this is where you go. Right.
You're the point.
Right. And so it got to the point that we knew that we had an undercover car watching our house and that. They were in the process of having a search warrant.
Right. Done. So they can just go in.
Yeah. So they could go in. But narcotics was watching the house. Amazing. Great.
Yeah.
They very clearly said to all of us, don't fuck with this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do anything.
Right.
Don't interrupt it. don't fuck this up
right,
for us.
Right.
Got it. Great. So I take a step back and, you know, like my dad was Scotland Yard for 30 years.
Whoa.
So I grew up.
Now we know your skills.
Right. I grew up with a healthy fear of like, okay, no. Okay, yeah, I'll do what I'm told to do.
Uh-huh.
Because also we want this shit done. We want it gone because then also this landlord who's just letting this shit happen, he will then get in a fuckload of trouble and maybe be a little bit more careful about renting to people in the future. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, why does he only attract scumbags?
Because he just wants to make money. Renting through a leasing agency that is not renting to the right people.
Maybe a nefarious.
So it's not it's not Airbnb.
It's not Airbnb. It's a company that is managing the property and putting it on Airbnb.
I see. Oh, okay.
So they are they're the people who are managing it. They're not the owners though, and so they're managing it. And so, so it gets to. I know that we're. Within like a day of having the search warrant executed.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly they start packing up and they're packing up in a very big hurry. Very big hurry.
And your toddler tipped them off.
She's such a snitch. She is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we immediately get hold of the SLO. We're like, something's happening. They're moving.
Yeah.
Don't know what to do. And he's like, we don't have any available. We don't have anyone available to come over there. And it's like, okay, well, whatever. Great. So as they're leaving, the very last person to leave is this teenager who I'd seen constantly. And it just broke my heart because it was like he was young and he was one that was driving the fucked up old van. And he's backing out. And I just happened to be outside with my mail again.
You get a lot of mail.
I do. I get so much mail.
Like multiple times a day.
So much mail. But I was like, hey, are you guys leaving? Are you moving so soon? He was like, yeah. I'm like, oh, where are you moving to? And he was like, oh, we're going to go somewhere downtown. I'm like, that's great. Listen, we know what you were doing. You obviously know the police know what you were doing. Don't come back to our fucking neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Please. And also your mother is very disappointed in what you're doing.
Good. Good for you.
And
I've been talking to your mother.
And he just went, okay, and left. So yeah, in retrospect, looking back, it's like this was a scary organization and it could have gone really bad because also the fertilizer they use is not safe fertilizer.
Yeah.
And being that they had a patrol in the neighborhood, that alone, it wasn't a small potatoes operation. And so that was our traumatic Airbnb story. Wow. And so then, of course, they got new renters in there and we were like, the fuck is this going to be now?
Right.
Are we going to have a brothel?
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I don't
care.
What's
next?
I am cool with that. You do your sex work shit. If it's your decision to do it and you're not, if you're being trafficked, then we have a problem. But if you want to set up, fine. Just clean up your condoms. But it ended up being some techie bros who had what was that show? Silicon Valley, where they like the Pied Piper house. It was that.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
They were really boring. But the house had not been professionally cleaned after the grow operation moved out. And the smell in there was apparently so bad. And they were like, we don't know what this smell is. And neighbors with the people fucking in the bushes were like, oh, you didn't know? They didn't tell you. So then they told them. But
yeah. You know what we just had happen? Sven had a package that was, you know, had his business name on it being shipped to Florida.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't. And it didn't end up going because there was something wrong with the address or the postage. And he was like, I don't recognize this. What is it? He opened it and it was a box of pot.
What?
A box of like the vape pot.
Shut up.
And it's probably 10 grand, I would say.
Wait a second. I'm confused. It was coming from his store?
Somebody used his address.
I've heard about this. Yes.
To try to ship it.
Yes. So
but
they
it didn't. So they, then it got shipped back to his store and then he has $10,000. So what did he do with it?
He's just still sitting with it.
What?
Because he doesn't know what to do about it.
Call the police.
He can take it to LAPD.
Needs to take it to the police.
I was like, well, we could keep it.
No. Take it to the police.
No.
But I said to him, you know, this could be a real problem for you because if
if you got caught with it, I think it's a felony.
It would be crossing, if it's going out of state, I believe it's, I don't know. Would it be a felony for crossing state lines?
And it's not a minor. It's pot, but I don't know. Maybe.
But there's different legalities.
It's not legal. It's still federal.
Is it legal in Florida?
It doesn't matter.
Because federally it's still illegal.
It's federally still illegal.
Yeah, I don't understand why he's sitting on it. He needs to get rid of that right now. He needs to bring it to the police.
This just happened.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for listening.
And we'll be right back with what did we learn today?
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Danielle.
Christine.
Ready to learn?
Yes.
Raclette is a Swiss dish, also popular in other Alpine countries, based on heating cheese and scraping off the melted part, then typically served with boiled potatoes.
It sounds almost like a punishment.
I made it sound better, didn't I?
You did. You did make it sound more appealing.
I'm going to tell you, it's good.
Also, of all the ways to cook potatoes, boiled? That's not fun.
You know, it's sort of like, then you can mash them and put butter on them and then the cheese on them.
Oh, that does sound good. Okay. Yeah.
You know, they're just...
like baked potatoes, but not
yeah, the... they're like baked yeah. potatoes. Maelstrom is defined as a powerful whirlpool in the sea or a river, but also a situation or state of confused movement or violent turmoil.
Yeah.
Like your mind could be that.
Yes, your mind could be a maelstrom.
On New Year's.
Yes.
The HBO series about Kim Wall is called The Investigation.
Right, okay.
I mean, I don't know how much more I can keep promoting
the
show.
No, I know. You keep telling me, and then I just go back to fucking... Gilded Age.
Yeah, well, you like to be bored.
The thing is, I'm reading a book about the Astors,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of it takes place during the Gilded Age.
Yeah.
And also, Mrs. Astor yes. is a character in the Gilded Age.
That's fun.
So I kind of went back, and it was, you know, it influenced me.
I could see myself going back to the Gilded Age.
Yeah.
It's like... kind of pleasant probably to watch.
It's pleasant.
And I do like that time period.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
But I'm on season 2 of The Bear and it is good.
Oh, I didn't know you were so far behind.
Yeah. We left it and now we've gone back.
Okay.
Okay?
Right.
And I'm glad I went back.
Good.
Swamping is when the boat is upright but filled with water. Unlike with capsizing when the vessel is either on its side or turned completely over.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wear your life jacket, dum-dum.
Yeah.
Time slips or time glitches are a commonly reported phenomenon. Many believe time slips support the holographic universe theory.
Okay.
So this is just a world we are not as aware of, and that's okay. We don't have to be in time slips, but if any of our listeners are, we'd love to hear from them in that email that Emily mentioned.
Well, they couldn't email us if they're in a time slip.
Yeah, they don't have email. Then send a Pony Express.
Maybe
yeah.
they're in the maybe they're in the future in a time slip. Or they just time slipped 5 years ago.
Okay.
Oh, our email wasn't set up 5 years ago. Email right. one of us privately and say, "Hey, right. you have a podcast in the future.
Right,
it's wildly successful.
Okay.
Make us feel good that we won't cry in New Year's." And then we'll get here and be like, "Wait, it's not as successful as you said it was." Then we'll cry even more. Guys, don't do that to us.
It's so mean. These time slip motherfuckers.
Oh, they really hurt our feelings.
So rude.
Danielle.
Chris.
Garen.
Yes.
Are you ready to do some Patreon shoutouts?
Mm-hmm.
These are some shoutouts to some of our newer Seek Shelter members.
Awesome.
Pretty sure I haven't read their names already. But if you're hearing your name a second time, then just...
congratulations.
Lucky for you. David Craig.
Yes.
Two first names.
Love it.
How lucky is he to have two first names? Next up.
Well,
thank
you're,
you.
You're Christine Kim, right? Or Kimmy?
Kim. Hey, Kim.
Kimmy Kim.
Hey, Kim.
Kimmy Kristen.
Come do these rewrites. Yeah, I'm still Christine, and I've been working for you for 2 years. All right. Thank you for your support, David. Next up, we have Travis Foster.
Hi, Travis.
Hi, Travis.
Thank you.
I like your last name because it reminds me of my favorite donuts, Foster's.
It means beer in Australia.
Foster's? You like a Foster's?
Australian for beer. Wait, Foster's, like Foster's Freeze has donuts, or is it a different thing?
It's different. It's just Foster's.
Is it a chain, or is it just something near you?
It's near us, and I think it's a chain as well.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
I love their donuts. All right. Thank you for your support, Travis and Kelly Selberg.
Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Kelly. I like that you spell your name I-E. That's fun. And I like that you listen to us and support us.
Yeah.
It allows us to make this amazing content. Oh, here's one. Listen to this. Now seating Donner Party of Five. Strike that, Party of Four.
I think we've already...
Did we already read this
yeah,
one?
Yeah, because I kind of remember that joke.
Okay, well, we're doing it again.
Okay.
It's a good joke.
One more. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Erica Lane. Yeah, we did this?
Well, I don't know, because I think it sounds like a soap opera name, and I'm pretty sure I said that before.
Yeah, like Erica Kane. Wasn't that a soap opera?
Oh, is that what's her face, right?
Yeah, Susan Lucci.
Susan Lucci, yeah.
Sorry, guys, if I'm rereading your names a second time. I think that maybe the app might reorganize things.
I tried in my least condescending voice to suggest to Christine that maybe she'd figure out a way to mark them.
I am doing a list on my phone.
Yeah.
And
that's okay. Maybe I could be wrong.
But I did miss a couple times. So there's that. But now I'm going to update it.
Okay.
And from now on, everything's going to be perfect in our lives forever, yeah. Guys. Now, I think we're going to stop, okay. But we do have some letters.
Okay.
We'll do it next time.
Great.
Because, you know, guys, there's only so much listening you want to hear from us.
Enough already.
And then you're just
two.
Like,
yeah,
this is never going to end.
Right.
Do these two ever shut up?
Yeah. I just spent the holidays with my family, and now these two hens are in my ear.
Oh, my God.
Let's get rid of them.
Please. These two cackling
hens. Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening.
Yeah.
We love the support.
Thank you so much.
And we hope you had fun. Until next time,
remain calm.